Okay, well, to the question, what WMO does in climate and water, at least my department, you could say in a general sense that everything we do is about water and climate change. Our department is called Water and Climate. So, for instance, as many of you know, we try to strengthen the basic capacity of most countries, but in particular developing countries with economy in transition, through projects like the capacity building projects, technical assistance. With the support of Switzerland, we have set up a global hydrometry support facility that precisely provides both the help desk, but also on the field support, training, and is trying to promote, on one side, innovation, trying to always go with the very expensive traditional instrument methodologies, but try to develop with the new technologies, for instance, with the smartphones, etc. There is a lot that can be done in measuring discharge, and so we are trying to make these things that are research to turn it into operational methodologies that can be used and have a certain quality assurance. But also we promote a lot, and this has to do with the transboundary characteristic, data exchange. You know, being a hydrological and water unit into a meteorological organization, we are in this a little like the bad example, because the meteorologists, meteorological service share their data, because since the origin of time, because that's a must. And so they don't understand why it's so difficult for water people to share that information. I don't have to explain here what are the normal, but at least in hydrology, we realize, and this is not yet official, this is my personal opinion, but of several of us, we think that at least in hydrology, part of the famous, you know the excuses, oh, this is sensitive information, I don't want my neighbor, blah, blah, blah. Part of it is not exactly true. Part of it is that people first have a lot of things to do, and to actually share data, it means that you have to sit down, agree what to do, and they don't have the time. Especially, I come from a developing country, even if my name is, and I know when I was requested to work with others for something that is not in my main mandate, I always was wondering, why should I do this? I have other things to do. But also sometimes countries have nothing to share. I mean, in order to share data, you have to, so actually putting your data online and making it public means that you show that, oh, but this out of 40 stations, only 5 work, and just once in a while. So in order to combat, instead of as we did in the past, forcing people with resolutions, you must share your data, otherwise you are, we will close down, we will eject you, which never works. We have tried to, that's what we call the stick, we try to have a carrot. And the carrot is first assist countries in having a database management system that is actually free, easy to use, sustainable, and that's, we promote one because it's the one that is free, but we promote any that is free source, and it's the one that we promote is MCH because it was donated to WMO and is available for free. MCH stands for meteorology, climatology, hydrology. And we are promoting, and we are doing that in transboundary basins like the Plata, in Sava, and something that is not exactly based, the Arctic, for sharing data. And with an innovation, using technological innovation, I'm not an expert in this, but basically using web services and try to do without the problem of having a common database. One of the main problems that we had in the past is that people would say, oh, but I have a different database from, in my region, Venezuela has a different database from Colombia, from Chile, from, and it's working. We have, thanks to the development of the new technology, we're using a system which is a broker system. Basically, each one can have its own database, but the data can be shared at no added. You just have to have the willingness to and give the address, the IP address of your service, and that's working in the plan in those basins. I'm saying, and we are trying to expand it to others. I'm going too slow on this, but on flood forecasting, for instance, you could also say that's contributed to climate change. We have with the financial support of US, we have a flash flood guidance system that now is being covered. It's done at regional level, and it's covering, if I don't remember wrong, 68 countries, that where we are installed, in some cases already operational in some regions, and in others is being implemented, in others we are just at the planning stages, but where, and we are trying to give all of them the possibility of having a flash flood guidance that at least can alert of the possibility of flash flood. Flash flood is very difficult, as you know, to forecast because of the time, of the lead time that is very short, but we are getting some interesting successes in Southern Africa, in Eastern Europe, and so on. We also, as many of you know, work on with the integrated flood management, integrated drought management through two associated programs with GWP. But so all this to say, but when you ask exactly water and climate, we have a program which is called exactly water and climate change, and that there is a rather new initiative you might not know that is called HydroSOS, which stands for Status Hydrological Global Hydrological Status and Outlook System, which started last year, so it's very recent, and it's basically with the goal of long-term goal is to have a global map and of course assist at the regional level and at the local level to have the same information, to have the current hydrological status, including groundwater, river flow, and soil moisture, on a dynamic basis, not a map, but something that is. There are several countries that are already doing that, but each one with its own method and not just covering their own country. So the idea, and it's already, this is the easier part, which is the status part, but that's where we are working. The second is an appraisal of the current status and how different it is from normal. So is it too much water, and on a dynamic basis, on a live basis, let's say. So is there potential for drought or floods? And the third part, which is the one that is more research almost based at this stage, but we are trying to solve, is an assessment of what is likely to happen to get better or worse over the coming weeks or months. So basically, you may know that there are a series of regional outlook forums that are held every year, in several times a year, on climate, regional climate outlook forum, which have, they've been there for decades, and they are now starting to be respected on climatological outlooks, but still there is not such consensus on hydrological outlooks. There are some quite good successes in some region, but there is not a methodology development, something that is. And the goal of this ambitious program is exactly get there, not only having the map, but also trying to have that outlook at seasonal scale, at monthly and weeks and months on the water courses. Started last year, there is a series of pilot. It started with two pilot projects, one in the Lake Victoria, the other in the Gange-Brahmaputra basin, which are just ongoing. You imagine they just planned to the, and this is done not by the Secretariat, we just coordinate. There is a big group of experts, I think they are around 50 at the time from different parts of the world, working in different work packages, as they call them. And I hope, and it's something that, if you are in those regions or near those regions, you might be interested. And in the future, the idea is to expand this to the rest of the. So if you go to the webpage of WMO, look, call, or Google HydroSOS, like that, and get information. And if you want, write to the Secretariat to give some more work to Sonia, that she's asking for more work. And so to get more information.